Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
At the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. So what are we going to be talking about? The blue moon? No, not the blue moon. The blood moon. The blood moon that we saw on Friday night here in Israel and in other places of the world as well. The evil of Gaza. And another interesting topic, why Europe hates Jews. Also, we're going to be talking about the horrific murder and stabbing spree that a young Arab terrorist went on in a neighboring community just north of Jerusalem and killed a young father and wounded two others. A lot to cover today. You know, they say that the moon can control many things. We know the moon has to do something with the tide. Brings the tide in, brings the tide out with the moon. We know that the word lunatic comes from luna, which is moon. Does that where the stories of the werewolves come from? Oh, people get a little bit nutty sometimes on full moons. I don't know why. My daughter is a nurse. My son-in-law is a paramedic with Magen David Adom, with the red Jewish star, the emergency medical service. And they say that on full moon nights, the emergency room in the hospital is packed. I mean, it's packed at other times too, but they know when it's a full moon, strange things happen. My son-in-law came back this last Friday night when we had the full super blood moon happening here. That night, he didn't have 1 second of rest. Heart attacks. It was nuts. It was crazy. Why? We're going to find out about the super blood moon. We're going to find out, does it portend to the end of the world? We're going to find all of this out. We're going to be speaking with Rabbi Matityahu Glazerson. He's going to be coming on the show and talking to us about that. You can call in if you like as well. A lot of interesting topics today. Join us in the chat room. It's the orange button on the player. We'll be right back, everybody.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And we are going to be talking about what happened on Friday night. And that is we had a lunar eclipse that was called the Super Blood Moon. It was the longest lunar eclipse in the 21st century. And some people were believing that this portends to the end of the world. And we're going to find out, is that true or is it not true? What does our good rabbi who we are going to be having on say about that? And our guest is Rabbi Matityahu Glazerson. He is an expert on the Torah codes. Basically, that's secret embedded messages encoded within the Hebrew text of the Torah through ELS, or equidistant letter sequence method. Rav Glazer has a YouTube channel where he regularly posts his findings connecting world events to the secrets of the Torah. He is a brilliant man and the author of several books, including The Secrets of the Haggadah, Music and Kabbalah, or Jewish Mysticism, and Above the Zodiac. You can find him at his website at glazerson.com, and we will link to his website on our page where this show is podcasted. So welcome to the show, Rabbi Matityahu Glazerson.
Yes, so the first thing, I assume and I hope that people saw my finding in the code about the moon eclipse, 15, the month of 5778. Now this is a very significant table, as one should see it, because there you have lots of ideas already about the meaning of moon eclipse in Judaism. Now, before, let us see, and let us hear what Judaism, what the Talmud said about it, what it indicating to, and how we should relate to it. So now this is in the Talmud, Tractate Sukkah, 29a, and this is what is written, the following. Now, it is taught by Rab Meir, who says, when the heavenly lights, i.e. the sun and the moon, are eclipsed, it is a bad omen for the enemies of Jewish people, but in fact it refers to Jews, because they are counting according to the moon. And then the continuation, it is interesting, because they are experiencing their beating. And as a result of this, so no doubt that one should relate it seriously. And according to the Mishnah Brura, Magen Avraham, it means Halacha, says that one has to fast on this day. It means that it is really something very serious to fast. In fact, it is interesting to point out that Rav Chaim Kanevsky was asked whether this time we could not fast on Shabbat, whether we should fast on Sunday. He said not. Now, another important point.
I just want to clear this up for our listeners, Rabbi. So are you saying that when we see a lunar eclipse that we should fast?
Yeah, because this was the cry about the Talmud, which says that it's a bad omen to Jews.
But, you know, and I saw so much information on this blood moon, and I never saw any articles about rabbis instructing the population to fast.
No. Even the Tzar speaks about this. Definitely the Tzar says something very interesting, that when it is a full one, Jews should be worried. And if it is not a full one, the Arabs should be, because they're also counting according to the moon. So, in fact, it is a very interesting discussion, but it is halacha, you know.
So what does this mean for the Jews? What does this mean for the Jewish people, what we saw on Friday night?
So the first thing, we should not be so worried, because it's written also on the halacha, that if it happens on Shabbos, we don't have to worry. Yeah? And nothing, it means nothing to worry on Shabbos, because it is not a bad sign for us. Very interesting to point it out, according to some. Now, let us see what basically the non-Jewish world think about it. And this is, by the way, this is what I want to point out. And when I looked for, in the code for the word, Likui Yareach, in Hebrew, this is the meaning of the moon eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
I found out Av Likui Yareach. It means clearly indicating the moon eclipse in this month of Av, which is once in the Torah, which is very significant. By the way, it's written that eclipse which happens on Av is more serious. This is also interesting. So already something behind. Now, what I found there, very small skip of this year, 5778, and very small skip about the 15th of Av, and then exactly as our rabbi tell us that we should fast, repent on this day, because it is a bad omen for us, so I found the word teshuvah there, and also warning. So altogether, it is so interesting that it's so significant. I want to point out that there were four blood moon on 2:14 and 2:15, which also the old world spoke about it, because it happened on Jewish festivals. It was on Pesach, Sukkot, and again in Pesach, Sukkot. So it was also all over the world spoke about it, because again it was in Jewish festivals, which also shows a connection to moon eclipse and Judaism.
So let me just interrupt you here, Rabbi, because this eclipse took place right on the heels of the holiday of Tu B'Av. And Av is, for anybody who doesn't know, is a Hebrew, one of the Hebrew months is called Av. So it was on Tu B'Av, and which is a holiday of love. It's like, you know, Lahavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, like Valentine's Day for the Jewish people. So it was way before Valentine's Day. So what does that mean? Does that have any meaning?
Look, it's the same thing that we had it on Pesach and Sukkot, very, very nice and happy festival, so it's opposite. It shows there is a warning. In fact, what came out warning, it means the concept of a day of love and good thing. We know it is very important, but we know it has to be in a proper Jewish way, you know, it's news and all these things. I like what is the past, but I don't think that the day of love of today, which unfortunately, you know, is not so much in the right way of Torah. But now, what I want really to point out is very important about things which it indicates to, which you wanted to know from what you wrote to me, quite a few things. Now, the first thing, it is really very interesting. There are opinions, Tolat Yaakov, who say it is also a sign of war. Yeah? Interesting, a sign of war, and also a sign of change of rulership. It is a sign that the rulerships changed.
Rulerships, okay.
Right, interesting. Like, you see, the idea, also you have to explain properly what is behind the idea of the eclipse, what it represents. Very important to know why it is a bad omen for us, because we can't, according to the moon. Because, you see, the sun represents, basically, the mind. Yeah, the mind. Like in Hebrew, Chamayim Amoach, the same thing. The moon represents the heart, Levana, Lev, Levanon. So the right way should be that the mind, which is the source of light, should shine and bring light into the heart, and then basically, you know, to behave according to this. When is the situation when the earth is covering the sun and no light in the moon, it shows the situation that unfortunately, the moon does not get the light from the sun, which means that the truth and whatever the light represents is not shown by the heart, and the heart is affected by physical materialistic forces which gives power to the Satan. By the way, it is very interesting to point out that the gematria of Likui Yareach is a Satan, Hasatan. Yes, people don't realize we pray Aser Satan Milfaneinu Achareinu. People think Satan is something mystic. No, it is something which really is. And in fact, this is the situation, that when you have this kind of situation, position of the earth covering fully, as we are now, it shows that we are in a danger of threat from the Satan. And this is why we have to fast. You see, this is why fasting is so important, you know, on this day, because it is really a sign of something severe which will come. Hmm. Now, it is also worthwhile pointing out that we had some of them after the eclipse of the sun. But if you go into Israel history, it is interesting that we had a lunar eclipse around the war, the declaration of Israel, but the war, Milchemet HaShichrur,
the War of Independence,
also around this time, and also the 67.
Rabbi, we only have 60 seconds left, and I want to ask you, so you're saying all in all, this is could be a very bad omen for us, that there could be war up ahead. There could be a change of rulership. We're seeing earthquakes in the north of Israel. We're seeing enemies on our northern border and southern border. And so we need to really repent and do tshuva.
But on Shabbos, the technique is on Shabbos, we are able to change it. It means it is not so severe, even though it's a big bad omen. But they say, some commentators said, since it was on Shabbos, like now, if it's on Shabbos, we are able to change it. I mean, it is not such a danger. But, in fact, it is a fact that happen, wars and earthquakes around these eclipses, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's very, very good words. Rabbi, I wish this segment was longer. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Again, Rabbi Matityahu Glazerson, we have to go to a break now. Thank you for coming on, and anybody can go to his website to find out more at glazerson.com and go to his YouTube channel as well. Thank you for coming on the show, Rabbi.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And another topic I wanted to discuss, which I found was very intriguing to me. I was speaking with our weekly guest, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, off the air, and he was telling me about a new book he's writing, and he's still in the midst of doing research, but we're discussing it, and I wanted to discuss it now, even though the book's not ready. I had to discuss it now. My father, as you all know, or most of you know, is a Holocaust survivor. And he is going to be speaking tomorrow at Yad Vashem at the Holocaust Museum. My father went through the Holocaust. He will be sharing his experiences. And the question that Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem is working on is, why does Europe hate the Jews? And he has a very interesting theory, and I wanted to bring him on to talk about that. So welcome to the show, Rabbi Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you.
Good to have you on. All right. So tell us first about the book you're working on and all of the things you were telling me off the air. I wanted our listeners to hear this.
Well, it's a complicated question here. Professor Francisco Gil White did some research for many years, a major research project. And I must add, he's not Jewish. And he came to the conclusion that, to put it more or less in his words, in Europe, economies grow and fall, kingdoms grow and fall, empires grow and fall. There is one thing that is constant, in his words, for the past 2,400 years, and that is hatred of Jews, anti-Semitism. It's always been there. It's been there. This is his research, not mine yet. And that's the only thing that's constant in European history. I slightly differ with him. First of all, I don't think that it's 2,400 years. I think it's closer to 2,100 years. We'll not quibble about that at the moment, because I don't see any traces of anti-Semitism in Greek culture. There are problems with them. It wasn't organized anti-Semitism. And I think it's not the only thing that's constant. I think inebriation is also constant throughout Europe, throughout all of European history. So we have some slight differences, but they're very technical, not really central issues. And so I started looking at this, and I said to myself, okay, the Romans had three wars against the Jews. Everybody's who's ever gone to any history in school knows that the Romans had three Punic wars, the three wars with Carthage. But very few people in the West are aware that Rome had three wars with Jews as well. And in the course of these three wars, which took place over a period of about 70 years, which is an interesting number considering where the state of Israel is today, something between 5 and 6 million Jews were killed. If we jump ahead a little bit to the time of the Crusaders, it's not a little bit, it's about 1,000 years, we see that the Crusaders, all of the different Crusades, not just the one Crusade that people are aware of where there was some count that made a lot of publicity about his attacks on Jews, but all of the Crusades on their way to the land of Israel would, pardon me for the use of this word, this is their word, they would train and practice by killing Jews wherever they found them, and they would search them out. And if we look at this history, the number of Jews that were killed, nobody knows exactly how many, but most accounts tend to depict it as something on the order of between 3 and 5 million Jews were killed. And of course, we have the German Holocaust, where we know that between 6 and 7 million Jews were killed. And of course, we have the interstices, the periods between these three major peaks in Jew killing, where there were many, many instances and many, many things that occurred. For instance, the most famous of them all, of course, is the Spanish Inquisition, but there was also a myriad expulsions. Almost every country in Europe has at least once expelled Jews from the culture, from the country. England has the record. They've expelled us 3 times. So I've begun to look at these things, and I'm frankly fascinated. And so I've begun to write a book, and the book is not really a history book in the normal sense. It's not a list of every pogrom that happened in every country throughout European history. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the concepts. I'm talking about the causes. I'm talking about what's called, in my background, as you know, is systems engineering, what we call in systems engineering root cause analysis. And that's what I'm attempting to find. I'm attempting to understand what is going on. What has caused this? When it occurred? When has it occurred? When has it not occurred? Where has it not occurred? And perhaps I may even be able to discover why.
Okay. And so when you were talking to me off the air, you were basically giving that information. Why don't you give it very briefly, because we only have about 4 minutes left. So tell our listeners what you were telling me.
Well, as I said, you know, the question is it one long Holocaust, or are we talking about three separate Holocausts with smaller missions in between? What are we really talking about here? And they're very complex. One thing I can say is that when you look at European people, and I want to emphasize what I've said many times in the past, I'm not talking about individuals. Clearly, there are millions, and there always have been millions of very good people, both Europe and Christians, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm talking about how things are organized. So if I look, for instance, at the Celts before the time of the Norman conquest and et cetera, there was no anti-Semitism in England. But England, over historically since then, has been by far the most anti-Semitic country in Europe. If I look at Spain during the time of the Ostrogoths, there was no anti-Semitism. If I look at the Vikings, there's no signs of anti-Semitism.
So that's because the Vikings hated everybody.
Well, they didn't actually. That's a misconception, actually. They were barbaric, clearly. They were extraordinarily violent. But actually, they didn't really hate. They just killed because that's what they did.
Right. Okay. It was just a joke.
Horrible people, but it was based on emotion. It was based on, they were thieves by profession. They lived in a harsh environment, and they lived by the sword. They lived by stealing.
Right. Plunder.
And very interesting to look at the Roman Empire. You know, one of the most fascinating things about the Roman Empire, we were all taught in school to adore the Roman Empire, Pax Romana. It's a crock. The Roman Empire was perhaps the most horrible thing that ever happened to humanity in all of human history. The Roman Empire never produced a Euclid, never produced a Pythagoras, never produced an Archimedes. There was no innovation or technological development whatsoever throughout the whole period of Rome. Kingdom, republic, and empire. Quite the opposite. Places that were more advanced than them than they were, they conquered in order to force them backwards. Rome had no economy of its own. The entire Roman economy was based upon one thing and one thing only: exploitation of other people's resources, enslavement of people, and theft.
And colonialism.
Well, the colonialism was the tool, but that's right. that wasn't their economic basis. Their economic basis was theft.
Okay,
and so when they ran out of people to conquer, the Roman economy essentially collapsed.
You have like 1.5 minutes to 90 seconds to sum it up, and I want our listeners to really come away with something here because I thought it was very, very interesting, your hypothesis and your research.
Well, again, it's very raw. I'm not there yet. I'm very much at the beginning. I've only been working on it for a few weeks now, but these results concerning the Roman Empire, what I've discovered, are shattering. They change the whole view of how Rome should be viewed. Think of Rome not as the progenitor of civilization in the Western world, but as the destruction, the force of destruction.
So basically you're saying what you were telling me on the phone when we were talking off the air, you were saying that it was interesting that Europe hates Jews. Why? And when you were saying that, when you look at, and Europe was Christian before, right? So when you're looking at Christian Europe, who killed millions and millions of Jews, and throughout the ages, pogroms against us. That's not to say that the Muslims didn't do that in the Muslim countries. There was the Farhud, and there were other massacres of Jews, but not on the scale of what we saw in Europe. And when you take Christians who live in Indonesia, Christians who live in Africa, Christians who live in other countries, in China, you don't see these large numbers of Holocaust-level killings of Jews. So what is it about the European continent that hates the Jews? It's very, very interesting. When you write that book, when you finish it, I want you to come back and join us on the air. Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. When we get back, we're going to be speaking with Shifra Hoffman. She's going to be talking to us on terrorism. As you know, there was a horrendous murder just north of Jerusalem last week, and it was a horrible, horrible thing. A father of two children murdered on a stabbing spree from another Arab terrorist. We'll be right back.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And we have joining us Shifra Hoffman. Shifra Hoffman is here for our activism segment, and she wants to talk to us about what is the true reason that Arab terror continues? Is there a solution to seemingly unsolvable problems? Shifra Hoffman, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tamar. Look, first of all, I want to say I'm not smarter than maybe a lot of people that are smarter, more degrees. Thank the Almighty, I have my credentials. But you have to be, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that if terror continues, there's a reason. And nobody can solve this problem. All the prime ministers, all the presidents, it's not only continuing, it's accelerating. And all we have to do is look into the Torah to see what it says, that if you do not do what the Almighty tells you to do in Israel, in the land of Eretz Yisrael, you will be vomited out like all the nations. You will not be successful. Your soldiers will not be successful. Nothing will be successful. So what do we find? We find that if we are going to be like all the nations and to desecrate the Torah in the way that they don't have a Torah, but we do, and the Torah says you are not allowed to have homosexuals with two mothers or two fathers and two babies growing up in a terrible environment, and they march 60,000 so-called gays, march in Tel Aviv on Tisha B'Av, and the one of the MKs in the Knesset, Glick, he wrote, it's very insensitive that they did that, to come on Tisha B'Av and make a march and a protest. Well, Mr. Glick, it's not only Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to have it at all. The Torah says it's an abomination. You will not have success here if we don't abide by what God told us to do. No two mothers or fathers and all kinds of rights. No rights. The rights are for the family. God gave a man and a woman, as one a songstress once said, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And they better get their act together, because there is no solution other than to turn back to the Torah.
Okay, Shifra, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate just for a moment, because I know a lot of people hearing this might be thinking, Shifra, are you saying that we're having terrorism because there's homosexuality in Israel?
Not only of homosexuality, okay, but of the trace, you know, not kosher food.
Okay,
here
so
in
that's
Israel.
One thing. So, okay, there are many reasons why. But Shifra, there are many reasons why we have terror in Israel. And I think that when you say a statement like that, when it's, you know, when you only bring up sexual perversity that the Torah is against, I think it we want to bring in more things to be a little bit more credible here. So there are many reasons why.
Well, let me say, Tamar, and you know I love you and respect you.
Yes.
I didn't write the laws. The
yes.
laws are given by the Almighty.
Right.
And it says it's an abomination, and if you continue this, it will be terror. It says there is a pasuk that says one of the scholars could call up and say where it's found in the Torah, that there was no terror when this happened. Then there was terror, and it will continue unless we stop it.
Okay, but Shifra, we've had terror before there was a gay rights movement in Israel. So there are many factors, and yes, we want to listen to the Torah. We learn about these things, and I agree with you there. But I think that when you come on and just bring up that one thing, I think that we need to widen this a little bit more. So that's
what I want to say this tomorrow.
Yes,
you can trace history. There was always this movement of gay rights, but they kept it under wraps. They didn't go and parade. They didn't desecrate Jerusalem by having a parade or other places. So it's not true that there wasn't. They were the kind of abominations that God said not to do. But at least it was not influencing others. They went from a small number to 60,000. How did 60,000 homosexuals all of a sudden come to it's the parade? It is an abomination, and also all the chilul Shabbat, the Sabbath desecration, the kashrut desecration. If we're not a holy people that signed the covenant with the Almighty, then we have no right to be here.
All right.
Because that's the reason he gave us Eretz Israel.
Right. And Shifra, I just want to say here that I think that people who believe in the Torah and the Bible will concur that we have to be moral here in the land of Israel, but there is so much more to terror. And I think that you need to bring those things up, because there was terror here before there was all of this progressiveness that we're seeing in the news today. And I would say that I would focus on a different part of the Torah and say that when we don't, if we leave this nation, this non-nation in our midst, there are going to be pins in our eyes and thorns in our sides. And that's exactly what's happening. When we give away land, when we don't take the enemy out and transfer them out, this is what we're seeing. Do you want to make a comment, though? Just a second, Shifra. I just want you to make a comment if we can, because it is a big news story and we don't have a lot of time. But can you comment on what happened in Adam with the stabbing spree that happened with a 16, 17-year-old Arab terrorist that went on a stabbing spree there in the community of Adam, which is just north of Jerusalem?
Desecration to believe in any human being, except that we have to do what we have to do with God's help. No, you just don't say, well, it'll be okay. You know, most people you talk to say, nu, yeah, tov. It'll be good. It'll be good if we're good. And if we're not good, it won't be good.
Okay, but do you want to comment on specifically the terror attack that happened in just north of Jerusalem right before the weekend?
Well, you know what? I don't know if I can comment anymore. It is so sickening to know that after a year, the Salomon family, who lost three members of their family, someone from the terrorist family went and killed a young man, young father, and injured two. And what is the response? Lieberman comes, Bibi comes, oh, we're going to deal with the terror, or we're going to do this, or we're doing that. You're not doing anything. If you're a prime minister and you have an army, you don't let the army to be hand-tied. Open the arms of the army and let them finish the job. As I wrote in one of my articles, half a loaf may be better than none for bread, but half a war is insanity.
All right, Shifra. How can people get in touch with you if they want to follow you?
Oh, they do. They call me. Well, actually, they write on the email, HoffmanShifra@gmail.com. And as I mentioned, my book hopefully will be coming out soon, God willing, in which you'll get truth. I don't study pretty it up. I have to acknowledge we had one leader, and they murdered him because he was just maybe ahead of his time. That's all. Rabbi Kahana Zatzal was a leader, and he didn't want to kill Arabs. He said they have 22 countries. Well, that's the solution. We had an ad recently in the Jerusalem Post. It said the 22-state solution. What does that mean? Not the two-state to divide little Israel. The Arabs have 22 states. They can take all their refugees and divide them among the 22 countries, the way Israel took in all our refugees from the Holocaust, from Ethiopia, from the former Soviet Union, and the Jews that lived in Arab countries that were thrown out without a penny of remuneration. That's the solution. And don't fool yourself by anything, oh, I'm going to vote this way, I'm going to vote that way. It's not going to work. We have to make the things that work, work, and otherwise we're in big trouble.
All right, Shifra. And you know what? I you know how much I respect you and love you, and I'm glad that we can agree to disagree sometimes, but we still have that mutual respect. You are a brave, heroic woman. And again, just give out your information for people who want to write you with any comments or questions that they have.
Please let them look at our website. The Jews in America who think they're so liberal and safe, look at our website, www.shuva.net. They're waiting for you, the neo-Nazi groups. There are 70 or more groups operating on the Internet, and they're all looking for the scapegoat, which is the Jew. You want to be thankful to them in a way, because the Almighty is giving you a chance to pick up, pack up, and come home to Israel. And right now, it's a beautiful day in Israel, and I'm so thankful that I'm here, and I'm glad that I could broadcast on Israel News Talk Radio.
Amen. And indeed, it is a beautiful day here. All right, Shifra Hoffman, thank you so much for coming on the show. Appreciate
it. Thank
you. And we will leave a link from your website on ours, so anybody who wants to follow you there can go and see what you were just speaking of. Thanks for coming on the show. All right, so we're at the end of the show now, and I want to thank all of you for joining us. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to write me, Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We can learn from the Torah what God, it's the blueprint, it's a book that tells us how to live our lives. God is the creator of the universe, and he tells us how to live our lives, what we should be doing, and when we see evil, we need to eradicate it. Our prophet Isaiah, as I often repeat, when we want to have peace, the product of righteousness shall bring peace, and the effect of righteousness, quiet and security forever. When we listen to God and we say, no, these people have to leave the land, the Jewish people are home now, if they don't want to live with us in peace, then they should go to their other, as Shifra Hoffman said, their other 22 countries and live among their own people with their own language, their own religion, that they share with those other countries, or even go to the West. And there, we have many Arabs who stay here, who live peacefully with Israel, and even help Israel, and some even serve in the army here. So Israel has peace with all of the Arabs who want peace. And the only Arabs that we don't have peace with are the Arabs who don't want peace. So we put out our hand, we do what the Torah says, derech eretz kadma le Torah, that being a a mensch, being a good person, comes even before implementing the Torah. And that's what I want to leave with everybody today, to be good, to be moral, to listen to the Torah, to what God tells us, and things will be good for the world. We want to see everybody prosper. We want to see everybody do well. And if you disagree with me, feel free to write in and tell me. Love to hear your comments. I want to thank everybody for who came on to the show today. Too bad none of you wanted to call in, because that's why we do live shows, to help you call in. If you agree or disagree, you can come on the air and do it yourself. All right, maybe tomorrow. You have been listening to The Tamar Yonah Show here at Israel News Talk Radio. Thanks for being with us.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.